Okay. Is
Love Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, it came on. Alrighty, my darling. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. It is so good to be back with you once again. Praise be to God. We pray that all is well with you. You had a happy and merry Christmas to each and every one. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson in basic theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory." You can call in your prayer requests at that same number. Amen. So at this time, I will say a short prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And we just have 5 more days into this old year. And we are praying for all blessings and everything in the new year. So at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. And again, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so happy to be back with you all at this time. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is
God, dear God, the creator and savior of mankind, thank you so much for the goodness and faithfulness. We will never stop being grateful to you simply because you did not stop blessing us. Lord, please give us hope and strength no matter how hopeless it may seem. Help us not to stop praying. We really believe that one day you will grant all the desires of our hearts according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Quick to return. to know what he looks like. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
Amen. Praise God. And right now, we are going to considering the cross. In Galatians 6 and 14, in the New King James Version says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. As we consider Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we should be profoundly humbled and profoundly grateful. And today, as we come to Christ in prayer, we should do so in a spirit of quiet, heartfelt devotion to the one who gave his life so that we might have life eternal. He was the Son of God, but he wore a crown of thorns. He was the Savior of mankind. Yet, he was put to death on a rugged cross made of wood. He offered his healing touch to an unsaved world, and yet the same hands that had healed the sick and raised the dead were pierced with nails. Christ humbled himself on a cross for you and me. He shed his blood for you and me. He has offered to walk with you through this life and throughout all eternity. As you approached him today in prayer, think about his sacrifice and his grace, and be humbled. God is my Heavenly Father. He loves us with an everlasting love. The proof of that is in the cross. The cross takes care of the past. The cross takes care of the flesh. The cross takes care of the world. The heaviest end of the cross lies ever on his shoulders. If he bids us carry a burden, he carries it also. God proves his love on the cross. When Christ hung and bled and died, it was God saying to the world, I love you. The cross is God's compass pointing to heaven. Think about this. The salvation that Jesus provided on the cross is free to us, but it cost him so much. We must never take his sacrifice for granted. In 1 Peter 3 and 18, in the New King James Version says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 through 28 in the CSB Bible says, "And just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this, judgment, so also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Amen. Romans 5:6 in the New King James Version says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." John 15:13 in the CSB says, "No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends." May God richly bless the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, you are our Savior and our protector. You suffered on the cross for us, and we will give you honor and praise every day of our lives. We will honor you with our words, our thoughts, and our prayers, and we will live according to your commandments, so that through us, others might come to know your perfect love. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And at this time, I will play another selection.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we are, all to the glory of God. Everything belongs to him in the fullness of his blessing. Nothing is possible without God. Far as the eye can see, he owns the cattle on the 1,000 hills. His love.
We are.
be to the Father. Lord, today we place everything in your hands. Our families, our health, our homes, our security, and our fears. You are the only one we trust with all that we are and all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amor will be here to conduct our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing.
Awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it. Think about it, Savior of the whole world,
giver of salvation,
by his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify, you know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice and sing.
Awesome.
Come on, somebody.
celebrate the arms of God. Oh, oh, he's awesome.
Amen. Praise be to God. In Hebrews 12:6 says, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. The love and discipline. God will always do what is best for you. If you really believe this, you'll trust the Lord even in your most difficult trials. The enemy who works to undermine your trust in him, however, often takes advantage of adversity by calling the Father's motives into question. He whispers, if God really loved you, he would not have allowed this to happen. The enemy wants you to associate the sting of spiritual discipline with a lack of divine caring. However, the opposite is true. Jesus loves you with an unshakable, sacrificial, everlasting love. And his discipline is actually evidence of your membership in his family. The reason is clear. God cares for you so much that he will not allow you to stay as you are. Instead, he wants to transform you into the likeness of his son and help you to mature in your faith. Always remember that the Lord is omnipotent. He sees the end from the beginning and knows exactly what fruit will come from the challenges you face. Although you may not understand his reasons for allowing certain hardships, your difficulties are evidence that God is still working on you and that the best is yet to come. Trust him and don't lose heart. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, we know you love us and want us to grow. We believe, Lord, help us to persevere and grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God again. At this time, I will play another selection. To God be the glory.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many think you were on earth a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word. Say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth. A holy king, a
carpenter.
You are the living
word.
Gentle
redeemer, God with us.
we'd like to call you Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah.
In 1 John 4:15-16 and verse 18 says, if anyone acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love, lives in God, and God in him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Psalms 13:5, but I trust in your unfailing love, my heart rejoice in your salvation. Praise be to God. I am the gift that continuously gives bountifulness with no strings attached. Unconditional love is such a radical concept that even my most devoted followers fail to grasp it fully. Absolutely nothing in heaven or on earth can cause me to stop loving you. You may feel more loved when you are performing according to your expectations. But my love for you is perfect. Therefore, it is not subject to variations. What does vary is your awareness of my loving presence. When you are dissatisfied with your behavior, you tend to feel unworthy of my love. You may unconsciously punish yourself by withdrawing from me and attributing the distance between us to my displeasure instead of returning to me and receiving my love. You attempt to earn my approval by trying harder. All the while, I am aching to hold you in my everlasting arms, to enfold you in my love. When you are feeling unworthy or unloved, come to me. Then ask for receptively to my unfailing love. And that is a calling from Jesus. Amen. Let us pray.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we give all our worries, doubts, fears, and concerns over to you today. Our life is in your hands. We need not worry because you got everything under control. All will be well with us. In your name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. And we're coming almost to a closing of this part of our program onto the next. And at this time, we are going to open up our hearts and let Jesus come in. Now is the time. If you haven't given your life to Christ, won't you open up your arms right now and let him in? Amen. Praise God.
You might be sitting there thinking to yourself, where is my God now? So many hypocrites professing to be Christians, lying and gossiping in the church. But I'm here to let you know that it starts with you, because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. Times in your life when you don't know what to do. It seems like everything is going wrong, and
Yeah!
Amen. Dear God, thank you for the gift of life and for the challenges that we face each day. We are grateful for the opportunities to grow in strength, courage, and perseverance. May we face those challenges with faith and determination, knowing that you are always with us and that all things are possible through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play a short selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen. Praise God.
Chapter I set free.
on our speaker for this evening. God bless you, Deaconess Valerie. How are you this evening?
God bless you. I'm doing fine. Doing fine this evening. I've been online since 6 o'clock.
I know.
Sister Buck called me earlier, and we talked a little bit about hopefully it should be on a little earlier today.
Well, I'll still give a time, you know. I give all my visitors, at least speakers, 15 minutes grace period.
Okay.
So at this time, I'll just play another short selection while we're waiting.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken. I'm living by faith. Nothing is impossible.
Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now it is time for our lesson. At this time, our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. It is so good to be back with you guys again. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Thank you. God bless you, too. I'm blessed and highly favored. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Thank you. I won't complain.
Amen. Amen. And Miss Valerie with us?
Yes, she is.
Yes. Good evening, Sister Barbara.
How are you doing? How you doing?
I'm good.
God bless you, too. Good to hear all of you on the line. Praise God. And
yes.
I hope you had a very splendid Christmas and that you got the gifts that God wanted you to have. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we just thank him for another day because it could have gone another way.
Yes, it
could have. But I just want to open in prayer.
Yes, Lord.
Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again, a few of your humble servants assemble at the 7 o'clock hour. To give you praise, glory, and honor. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for any struggles, allowing us to see a new day that we've never seen before. This Tuesday in winter, the first week of winter. And God, we can't thank you enough for all that you do for us. We thank you most of all for your unconditional love. God, when you love us, when we don't even deserve to be loved, Father God. We thank you for your unconditional love, your grace and your mercy, your generosity, your kindness, your compassion, your favor, all the providential care that you provide for us, Lord, when you make a way for us when there seems to be no way. We can't thank you enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So we just ask that you bless us and we will be blessed. The situations that are in the world that are unfair and unjust, the wars, the sickness, the killings, the unfair treatment, the abuse, the sickness, the things that are going wrong in our sight, Father God, I pray that you will make it right. You will turn it around. You will give us a breakthrough, Father God, and bless us in every way we need to be blessed. Whether it's mental, physical, financial, spiritual, relational, any way that we need to be blessed, Father God.
Yes.
I receive it right now. I receive it right now. And for all the listeners, I pray that they receive it too. So again, forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And Father God, I pray that as we proceed to the year 2024, if it be thy will, I pray that it will be a better year than 2023 has been and that we will draw closer to you as you draw closer to us. As we seek your face and we do the things that you would have us to do, Father God, allow us to be more obedient, Lord God, to be in your will and to just love you and follow your commands and your statutes, Father God. Can't thank you enough. Bless our families. Bless our friends. Bless our enemies. Just bless us, God, and we will be a blessed people. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of the Savior, of your Son, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I receive my portion.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I receive it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 So we're going to get back into our lesson, which started on page 313, chapter 47, the post-ascension ministries of Christ. We read the first paragraph. We read the first division talking about the past ministry. And now we're in the second division speaking about his present ministry. And A, as head of his body. Everybody ready? You all on the same page?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Amen. So, by his resurrection and ascension, our Lord was positioned in the place of honor at the right hand of the Father to be head over the church, his body. And we see that in Ephesians 1, verses 20 through 23. This involves a number of specific ministries he performs in relation to the body. So let's take a look at Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. Valdez, could you take a look at that first, please?
Excuse me, what did you say, Evangelist?
Uh-huh, Evangelist.
Okay.
Is she ready or not?
Ephesians 1 and 22, 19.
Ephesians 1.
Okay. And it says, that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader of anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Praise be to God.
Thank the Lord.
Thank you. Any thoughts about that?
Well, once he ascended and sitting at the right hand of God, then he still has decisions over everything down here on the earth and in heaven above, because God gave him that authority.
Thank you. Deaconess? Do you have any thoughts about that?
He was placed in that position.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He was placed in that position above us to be the head of the church and
mm-hmm.
you know, right at the right hand of his Father. But all things and power in his hands. He was far above principalities,
mm-hmm.
power, dominion.
Amen.
And over this
mm-hmm.
world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to read mine. When you finish.
Oh, I wasn't reading mine. I was just... you want me to read mine? The King James... It's 20 to 23, right?
No, I think
which
she just read it.
She read it. So I was just taking that from the lesson where...
No, I'm going to read mine.
Lesson. Oh, read mine.
I was going to read mine. I'm reading the Message Bible, and it's size of 19 through 22.
Okay.
That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. And that's talking about being where? You know what? I read the wrong thing. I read two.
Sounds familiar. We have one challenge, you know.
Because I'm looking for 23 and it's the next chapter. I'm sorry. And it seemed right without listening. I'll try it again. I'm sorry. That was 23:23. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven in charge of running the universe from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. Mm-hmm. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. I have a question, and you know what I'm going to ask. What does it mean that the church is not peripheral to the world? The world is peripheral to the church.
The church doesn't have to follow the world.
Okay, let's.
That's what it means.
Let's get a clear understanding of peripheral. I'm gonna Google it.
Thank you.
Don't say anything for a second, okay? Peripheral means like on the outside of. But let me see what peripheral. Sometimes it could be so slow. Peripheral. I apologize. Try it again. I have to type it in. Who was that? Oh. P-E-R-I-P-H. A moment. Here we are. Peripheral vision. That's not what I want. One moment.
Mm-hmm.
P-E-R-I-P-H-E-R-A-L. Peripheral. Here we go. It means computing, anatomy, relating to or situated on the edge or periphery of something. So the outlying or the outer, the surrounding, the border. So let's get back to... So the church is not on the outside of the world. The world is outside to the church. Does that make sense?
Well, it doesn't make sense to me.
One at a time. Valerie?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think simply put, I see where the world can fit inside the church, but the church doesn't go inside, and the church is not following the world. And, you know, it has its borders or boundaries.
Hold that thought. Let me pick up on this. Hey, goodness. I'm sorry.
No problem.
I'm back with you. So we're saying that peripheral means outer. So the church is not outer to the world. In other words, the church is not surrounding the world. The world is outer to the church. What is,
I think the church could contain the world, but the world cannot contain the church.
The church.
We have our boundaries. We have our boundaries. God is coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. We have boundaries.
So the church is not outside of the world. The world is outside of the church.
Right.
The church is not outside to the world. Mm-hmm. The world is outside to the church. So the church is us.
The church is right. Not in the world. We're of this world, but we're in the world, but we're not of this world. The church is not in the world. The world is all around, in the church, outside of the church, but the church got boundaries.
But to answer all of that, we are the church.
That's right.
The people are the church.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And we are everywhere. So we're not outside of the world.
Mm-mm.
The world is outside of us.
That's
the
amen.
Church is in us. The church is in
exactly.
us.
Exactly. We are the church.
But the
well,
world
you
want to
say
is
in us.
We can't be double-minded. We can't have the world and claim the world in the church. There's boundaries. Like you said, the outside, that's the boundary. The church can contain the whole world. The lesson is saying that you said 20 and 21 and 22 are above all principalities and powers. It's
no.
The King James Version.
20
is which he wrought in Christ, which he won in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him upon his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So I'm not talking like I'm not going to talk how I know that, like I know, because that's a lot. But I just, for my discernment, it's like that Christ, he could contain the world. The world can't contain us. They are limited. Our borders don't, you know, go in the world. We're of this world, but we're not in this world. We're in this world.
No, you
got
it backwards. You got it backwards.
We're in the world, but we're not of the world.
There you go. You straightened it out. Okay,
what?
Let me do one more thing. Exegesis on Ephesians 1, verses 20 through 23. I'll just follow a loop. Exegesis on Ephesians 1, verses 20 through 23, please.
What did you say, exodus?
I said exegesis on Ephesians 1, verses 20 through 23.
Well, what is the question?
I'm trying to get Google to give it to me. Exegesis on Ephesians 1, verses 20 through 23. Doesn't want to work while I'm doing it. Okay, all right. One more time. I'm going to...
That'd be my president.
type it in. You have commentary, right, Evangelist?
Yeah. Okay, you
it's
want me
Jesus.
To
wait, one minute on Ephesians 1, verses 20 through 23. Okay, let me hear what you got.
Okay, 20 to 22 to 23 says, having been raised from the dead, Christ is now the head of the church, the ultimate authority over the world. Jesus is the Messiah, God's anointed one, the one Israel longed for, the one who would set their broken world right. As Christians, we can be confident that God has won the final victory and is in control of everything. We
mm-hmm.
need not fear any dictator or nation or even death or Satan himself. The contract has been signed and sealed. We are waiting just a short while for delivery. Paul says in Romans 8:37 through 39 that nothing can separate us from God and his love. 23 says Christ fills the church with the gift and blessings. The church should be the full expression of Christ, who himself fills everything. When reading Ephesians, it is important to remember that it was written primarily to the entire church, not merely to an individual. Christ is the head, and we are the body of his church. Paul uses this metaphor in Romans 12:4-5, 1 Corinthians 12:12-27, Colossians 3:15, as well as throughout the book of Ephesians. The image of the body shows the church unity. Each member is involved with all the others as they go about doing Christ's work on earth. We should not attempt to work, serve, or worship merely on our own. We need the entire body. That's my commentary.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, mm-hmm. Let me, it's a lot. I don't want to read everything, but let me read a paragraph or two. Okay. This is by McDonald. Well, Christ the head of everything and gave him as head over all things in the church. This is from the Amplified. As appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised through the church, the NLT says, has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. The Father's gift to his Son is a bride. He is the head. This points to Christ's preeminence as Lord and Master. Is he your Lord? He is not the king of the church, but the head. And as his bride, she will reign with him in the future. And this has great practical import, for the head of the body determines what the body will and should do. I'll read that line again. For the head of the body, Christ, determines what the body will and should do. Christ as head gives the direction of the works his body should accomplish. That's us. As head, Christ has full dominion in the affairs of the church to direct all things pertaining, both to his inner life and outer activity. This is McDonald. What follows is almost incredible. This one whose nail-scarred hand will exercise sovereign authority over all the universe. God has given this glorious one to the church. Here Paul makes a startling revelation concerning the mystery of God's will. Step by step, he has been leading up to this climactic announcement. With graphic skill, he has been describing the resurrection, glorification, and dominion of Christ. While our hearts are still awestruck at the contemplation of this glorious Lord, the apostle says, it is in his capacity as head over all things that Christ has been given to the church. If we read this verse carelessly, we might understand it to say that Christ is the head of the church. While that is true enough, the verse says a lot more. It says that the church is closely associated with him who has been given universal sway. In Ephesians 1:21, we learn that Christ is far above every creature in heaven and on earth, in this age and in the coming age. In the first part of Ephesians 1:22, we learn that all things as well as all created things are in subjection under his feet. Now we learn that the unique calling of the church is to be associated with him in his boundless dominion. The church will share his rule. All the rest of creation will be under his rule. All right, so one more thing. Now consider the last phrase. God gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, Ephesians 1:22-23. Jesus Christ has been exalted to absolute authority over the church. Hence, through his sovereign person and exalted position, the church takes her orders. The church takes her orders from him. So the church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. All right? Okay. The church takes its orders from Christ. Right. Christ does not take the orders from the world.
From the church.
Okay, and just hence through his sovereign person and exalted position, Christ, the church takes her orders. He is the exalted head over all. The order of the church must be his will, and every activity must exalt him. Since it is in the capacity of head over all that God gave him to the church. One last part. When the members of the church recognize this, then there will be no lack, but the church will receive its fullness from him. As a recognized head, he imparts the needed strength to accomplish every task. When the visible body of Christ on earth recognizes the invisible head in heaven, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Popes, cardinals, and bishops are merely men. And when any man sets himself up as the head of Christ's church, it is sacrilege of the basest sort. Beloved, let us take our position in subjection to our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may enjoy victory all along the way. But we cannot be complete without him. And we see that in Colossians 2:9-10. So does that help us understand that Jesus has been exalted to absolute authority over his church? Hence, through his sovereign person and exalted position, the church takes her orders. So the church is not governed by the world. The world is governed by the church.
Amen. That was beautiful.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I understand it better. That's
when it's broken down, you can understand it so much better.
I hope so. That was my intent, okay?
Yes.
So we clear with that?
Yes.
Okay, Chico's in the briefing. Okay, so part one.
Chico, be quiet.
He formed the body. He formed the body by sending the Spirit on the day of Pentecost to baptize believers into the body. Acts 1:5-33, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Though the Spirit's work of baptizing is the immediate agent that affects placing people in the body, the ascended Christ is the ultimate agent because he sent the Spirit. Any thoughts about that?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm good. So he formed the body, like, you know, because when he sent back the Holy Spirit, so that's what's working inside of us for all of those who mm-hmm. accept him. Once you accept him, and then he sends the Holy Spirit, and then that way we continue to do his work down here on earth. But without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything.
But the Holy Spirit was already sent.
Yeah, after he, but not until he sent them back down to us.
Right. But the way you said it, it sounds like he's going to send it, you know, each time that somebody accepts him. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the unbelievers, they don't really have the Holy Spirit in them until they give their life to Christ.
Okay, then, so what about the believers?
Well, the believers, yeah, they have the Spirit inside of them because he gave it to them already.
Okay, because
you know, the believers have to believe and be baptized.
Don't cut me off, Valerie.
I'm sorry.
Once we become believers, the Holy Spirit dwells within us.
Right.
Okay, Valerie, what you trying to say?
To receive the Holy Spirit, first, you have to be baptized and repent. That's in the word, that's in this lesson right here, the day of Pentecost, to baptize believers into the body. Through the Spirit works, though the Spirit's work of baptizing is the immediate agent that affects placing people in the body.
So if we don't get baptized, we don't have the Holy Spirit?
Well, I'm just going by the word. The word says repent and be baptized, and you will receive the Holy Spirit.
Okay, let's look at Acts 1 and 5, Valerie, and then 2 and 33. And then I'm going to ask Evangelist to look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Acts 1 and 5 first.
Okay, looking for it. Acts 1 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall baptize with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Okay.
And 2 and 13.
2 and 33.
33?
Yes.
Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear.
Okay, let me see. Mine goes from 29 to 36. It says, dear friends, let me be completely frank with you. Our ancestor David is dead and buried. His tomb is in plain sight today. But being also a prophet and knowing that God had solemnly sworn that a descendant of his would rule his kingdom, seeing far ahead, he talked of the resurrection of the Messiah. No trip to Hades, no stench of death. This Jesus God raised up, and every one of us here is a witness to it. Then raised to the height of the right hand of God and receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, he poured out the Spirit he had just received. That is what you see and hear. But David himself did not ascend to heaven, but he did say, God said to my master, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a stool for resting your feet. All Israel, then, know this. There's no longer room for doubt. God made him master and Messiah, this Jesus whom you killed on a cross. Okay, and then Evangelist, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13.
Okay. 13 says, where are you? 12. Some of us are Jews. Some are Gentiles. Some are slaves. And some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one spirit, and we all share the same spirit. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you. And so we continue. Though the Spirit's work of baptizing is the immediate agent that affects placing people in the body, that's the immediate agent that places people in the body. The ascended Christ is the ultimate agent because he sent the Spirit. The practical effect of this new position should be disassociation from the old life and demonstration of newness of life. Romans 6, verses 4 through 5. Valerie, would you please?
Yes.
Romans 6, 4 through 5.
Okay. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen. So, what did you just read? What, can you expound on that in your own words?
He talks about the first, he talks about the baptism. And mm-hmm. the baptism symbolizing a new life.
Mm-hmm.
Like his new life he received when he was raised. And when he ascended, he was given the power because of that position. It was pertaining to that position. God had him ascended and put on his right hand.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
And
amen.
He talks about his whole baptism. We receive a new life too. That old man that goes down and immerged in water should come up a new person. Like Jesus' life is different now. He ascended up onto the right hand, given all power in heaven and earth, and sent us that comforter. Once we became baptized, we received. We could receive a newness of life and that Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen. Thank you. And I like to read mine, verse 6 through verse 5, and it says, when death becomes life. So what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. I think that's beautiful.
Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to the sin, miserable life, no longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this, and we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of the death as the end. What does that mean? An end of the death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. Amen?
Amen.
So how did he do that?
What do you mean? When he went down, when he went down in the water?
When he was crucified.
Yeah.
When he ascended. He was able to see the Spirit. And when we're baptized, we're able to receive the Spirit.
Okay, so we know that when he was raised from the dead, that's after he was crucified, as you said, it was a signal of the end of the death as the end. That means that was the end of death being the final thing, that there was no eternal life. That ended that. Never again will death have the last word, because we have life and that more abundantly, even when we die. That's when we die, if we're Christians. So when Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. Amen? So he did that through his crucifixion, when he died, when he rose again. That meant the end of death. As it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So you're saying that before Jesus came and was resurrected, no one went to heaven?
No. There was no door that promised everlasting life.
Right.
So what do you think, Evangelist?
He is the door.
Yes, he is the door. So what happened to those people that died before Jesus came?
Well, when he was crucified and he went
before
down.
Before he came. You listen to the question. What happened to those who died before he came and was crucified?
They were still dead in hell. They were still in there.
He happened to be in hell, Evangelist.
So he went to set the captives free. They were trapped.
Yeah, but I mean, you think everybody
What's the answer?
I'm waiting for her to respond. I'm not giving you an answer yet. And it's only my opinion. It's not, you know, it's... Before Jesus came, he didn't. The promise of he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Before he came, there was no way, no truth, no life. So when people died, they stayed dead. That's why when it says he came back and the dead in Christ will rise first, those who died, and even though he said in Christ. To me, if they didn't know Christ before they died, I don't understand that concept. Okay, but those who did die and knew Christ, they should rise first. But those who died before they knew about Christ in old, ancient days, I don't know. That's my answer. I don't know about that.
Well, that's good. That's a good answer.
But wasn't Christ in the beginning? So those
he was in the beginning. He was in the beginning, but he was not the savior of the world. They didn't know him as the savior. They didn't know, the world didn't know the Savior until he was a little baby born.
Right, right, right.
Of Mary, of the Virgin Mary.
Before God sent his son, God was still, Alpha Omega, beginning and the end. Everlasting.
Exactly, but I'm saying.
Creator of the universe, yes.
Right, but the question was, what happened to those who didn't know Jesus before he came down in the flesh, God in the flesh?
Right, that was my question. And my theory is, and I don't say I'm right either, this is just what I discern.
Okay.
Is that we were not there. The scriptures tell us my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not yours. They're higher than yours. We can't know everything. It's a mystery. And those that are not of Christ, they're more mystified. And God is not even going to reveal himself to certain sinners. And it's just, he said, I was there from the beginning. And the end of Omega, and he's never going to change. We just didn't have instruction then. We didn't have instruction then. But that doesn't mean that things were different. God did what he did, but it's not for us to know everything. But we have instruction now. And we know that he was the same in the beginning. He's the same in the end. And it doesn't change. Even though we got a million versions, it means the same.
Right.
That's what I discern. I ain't going to say too much about, I ain't talking a lot about what I don't know. I wasn't there. No, it wasn't the back. We didn't have instruction back then before Christ. Before the disciples. But now we do. And we need it. This generation lost without the teachings and bringing up. But we have it. It's available. If we didn't have it and we was living in times like this, well, what would be? It's like this, if the righteous scarcely can make it, you know, sorry for the sinners. We're barely making it.
Why you
and
say
I just
that?
Don't want to be the one to slip in
Why
the lake of fire.
It?
Give me, that's the word. That's the word.
Why you say we're barely making it?
Well, that is what the word is saying. That is almost like a warning. The righteous is scarcely making. And the preaching is that you wouldn't want to slip in the lake of fire from the pew.
Yeah, but to say we're barely making it, I mean, we're free in Christ Jesus.
No, if the righteous could scarcely make it in. You know the scripture I'm talking about, evangelist?
No, what is it?
That's
you find
scripture.
It. What is it?
Well, I might not be wording it word for word. But it's the righteous. If the righteous could scarcely make it in, Google
I hear
that.
You, but you need to find the scripture. You find the scripture. Can you do that?
Okay, I'll try.
Okay.
I'm not good with memorizing, but I know
it's
in it.
You don't have to memorize it. I want you to read the word. That's what I need you to do.
Let me try to find it.
We have about three minutes.
Is that the scripture for the people that died before Christ came?
But the point of that scripture is that the righteous, we know the way, and then there's a whole generation that didn't have the instruction. And we
okay, hush for 1 minute. Hush for 1 minute. Valerie. You said the scripture says the righteous are barely making it in?
No, it's more like a parable. If the righteous could scarcely make it.
Okay, let me see if I can Google that. Don't say anything for a second.
No,
the parable that says if you're talking, I can't Google it.
But you told me to Google it. I found it. Go to First Peter.
First Peter.
Okay, that's what I was trying to do.
Okay, it says at 18, your journey, your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood.
It's not
4,
you got it? Are you reading 419? Are you reading 419?
No, you said 1 and...
I'm sorry, it's 4:19, chapter 4, not chapter 1. But it's 1 Peter, chapter 4, 18 and 19. It's 18.
Okay.
And it's it.
Okay,
it's
my side is 17. All right.
Yeah.
It's judgment time for God's own. It's judgment time for God's own family. We're first in line. If it starts with us, think what it's going to be like for those who refuse God's message. If good people barely make it, what's in store for the bad? I think that's what you were talking about. So if you find life difficult, let me finish. So if you find life difficult because you're doing what God said, take it in stride. Trust him. He knows what he's doing, and he'll keep on doing it. So if good people barely make it, what's in store for the bad?
That's what I meant. But the problem,
so if you
why
doing,
that,
if you, so if you find life, so if you find life difficult because you're doing what God said, take it in stride. So don't get too cocky. You got to trust him. He knows what he's
okay,
doing.
Okay, no, so we're getting off the subject. We're getting off the subject. The subject
so
was
can you
the
be
righteous.
Quiet for a minute, Valerie?
Okay, we're getting off the subject, buddy.
So if we can find that life is difficult and we're following what God has said, take it in stride. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. So if you find life difficult because you're doing what God said, take it in stride. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. So don't feel any kind of way if you're doing the right thing and you're still having a hard time. He said that we would suffer. His own child, his own son suffered.
That's
right. So we're going to suffer anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're right. Is there I didn't hear you.
Yeah, we will suffer because Christ suffered, because he was crucified. He said, you're going to be persecuted because I was persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
But the 18th verse, the 4:18 is what I was talking about. 18 says in the King James Bible, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? It's more like a question, not saying anything, but it's questioning the righteous, not being... barely making it, scarcely being saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And I just said that to almost answer the question where, not answer the question, but add to the fact that back then they didn't have any instruction. So this lifetime, we have, before Christ, before the apostles, before the prophets, before Christ. They didn't have the instruction we do, the word
Moses.
Of God, the Bible.
They had Moses. Well, he was a prophet. You mean before Moses?
I'm talking about the commandments, the word of God. I'm talking about
before Moses, you saying the people didn't have any instructions?
No, I'm talking about the question we posed earlier.
Okay, what's your answer is what I'm trying to find out. You're talking about before Moses, who was a prophet.
Unknowing. We didn't know. We didn't know. The church knows. And they could scarcely get by. Living righteous, being Christ-like, receiving the Spirit of God. So that's one word about the generation. But glad that we have instruction at this time before, after the death of Christ, after the resurrection. We have the instruction that we could spoon feed to this generation.
Okay.
We have to witness. Got to do our work. God gave us a work to do.
But
all right.
I was telling the evangelist, I signed up 11 people for baptism. And I just started to feel good about it because they're all elderly and seniors, talking to God, knowing that life is shorter than, you know, a lot of others. So I feel good about it. I'm just going to do what God told me to do. Just going to witness. When I'm not doing the baptism. I'm not a minister or anything, but God gave me a work to do to let them know what I know. To,
good.
You know, speak to, be baptized, repent of your sins, and receive God, receive it. It's scary. It's like, you know, it's like I'm fulfilling a gap because there's a gap between a sinner and the Holy Ghost. That gap is that we got to willingly open up and be ready to receive it. And it's for us to intercede in that gap. So I'm just praying to God what I know to do, what God
okay.
gave me to do. I
bind
them up,
but
and I witness to them.
Peter was saying, he says, but for the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household, meaning us. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who never obeyed God's good word news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right. And trust
all
your
right.
life to God who created you. He will never
right.
fail you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, he as Christians, we are going to suffer too. If Christ
That's why I look up to you, evangelist. Because no matter what comes your way, and God is saying, if you serving him and you suffering in the right way, just, you know, keep on doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said in the word right there in Peter.
That's true. That's true.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
you
that's my
both.
Testimony.
Thank
consider
you
it all joy.
Expounding on
Amen.
That question.
Yes.
Amen. So we're going to suffer. Even though we are fire baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and Spirit and all of that, we're going to suffer.
Yes,
and some may suffer worse than others, but we're going to all suffer. Amen. And maybe at different times. You're going to have good days. You're going to have not so good days. You're going to have terrible days.
Oh, yeah.
But through it all,
hold on. And when these temptations come your way, count it all joy. It's just what we're just reading.
Okay. You're right. Count it all joy and don't give up.
That's right.
Hold on. Because God has got us. God has got, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the situations or the circumstances, hold on. Because you're holding on to the Creator.
That's
you're holding
right.
on to God who's holding on to us.
He's
so don't give up.
That's
don't
right.
give up.
No matter
That's
what.
Vital message, do not give up. It may hurt, but don't give up.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, ladies, for your input, both of you. Oh, goodness.
This
Thank
is an
you.
Awesome lesson. We didn't even move anywhere.
Thank you. That little one paragraph
I
kind
love
of thing.
These
That's all right.
I love these kind of studies where we
That's
just,
all right. And I just love to get deeper into it so we can get an understanding.
Exactly.
So it may take a little longer, and I don't know all the answers. That's why I'm, you know, trying to delve into it deeper. But, I thank you for your input, both of you. Thank you. It means so much.
Thank you for
Amen.
The teaching. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you.
You did an excellent job tonight.
Yes, you did. You there?
Oh, y'all talking to me?
Yeah,
that's your
name, right?
I didn't know what you said. You couldn't say, no,
that's
you
did it. Are you making
two
nuts out that quick?
No, and you say vowel is only three letters, so I just didn't understand what you said. I didn't hear you.
She said vowel.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Good job. It's, good job, vowel.
No, wait.
Good
okay,
job, evangelist. Thank
you
all for that.
God bless you.
Beautiful. Valerie, you want to take us out tonight?
Amen.
Well, Lord God, I don't say no to the Holy Spirit. I don't say, because I don't believe that you should say no to what's right. Say no to what's wrong. There's so much evil in the world.
Mm.
Lord God, I hear our prayers, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Bless this study, Father God. Let us stick
Thank
to
you,
the
God.
Word. Let us stick to what thus said the word, Lord God. Without
Great
million God. Translations, Lord God, let us stick to the manuscript in the name of the Lord Jesus. Put us on one accord, Lord God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Give us your Holy Spirit, Lord God. You said you never leave us nor forsake us, Father God. And we receive
you
in the precious name of Jesus. Lord God, all thine ways, Lord God. Cover us with the whole arm of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, Lord God. That we may be able to push our plate forth and refuse some of these evil devices that attack us daily, Lord God, when we get up in the morning. Allow us to drink the devil to kill the spirit, to pick up our cross and follow you,
Lord.
Jesus.
Yes,
in the precious name of Jesus. Create in us a clean heart, Lord God. Renew our spirit, Jesus. And wash us as white as snow, Father. Let us be the daughters you are calling on in this last evil days, Lord God, to bring others to Christ Jesus.
Yes,
thank you.
Without Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you for that fervent prayer.
Thank you for that permanent prayer.
Valerie.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Ladies, I love you. Have a
love
very beautiful evening and the rest of the week.
Love you too.
Bye.
If I can join you tomorrow night, I will, God willing. If I can't, well. But anyway, love you so much. Hugs, kisses, and blessings.
We miss you when you don't come, Barbara, Sister Barbara.
I know. I'm going to try to come, okay? It's 6 o'clock, right?
You're sticking in there with the daughter of the venue.
I'm cutting off my program. All right.
What happened?
Okay.
She cut you off? It's 12 minutes after, so we got to
like
say goodnight.
It's calling at the same
All right,
time.
Have a blessed night. I love
you.
You
too.
We love you.
Love you.
Here.
Shalom.
All right.
I don't answer name unavailable.
Oh, okay, and I got to learn to start doing that. I got to learn to
love
start
you.
Doing that.
Have a good
love
day.
Love you. You too.
Kisses.